Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Freedom!
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your hosts, Drew Tignanelli and Tim Maurer.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. And Timothy is in the house.
Whew. Tell you what, just barely tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not like we can thank Terry Troyer. You know, where's Terry to tell me that I can't drive out there?
Seriously, I pulled up my
He's
little...
probably going to be coming in this window screaming at me in a second.
Drew, I was just glad that you were not stuck in the same thing I was, because I pulled up the GPS and the entire map just looked red. So I ended up going Old Court back roads the whole way here. But I'm glad to be here, especially because of our guest tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a quick Drew's view, which kind of leads into this conversation tonight.
A segue, if you will.
A segue. We do those at the office, those little machines that you drive around, and then we have a segue.
That's
right?
How we get from place to place.
And there's a lot of really cool techniques that if you're charitably minded, you should be thinking about, especially at this time of year. So, for example, required minimum distributions. You know, you can do that out of your IRA through what's called a qualified charitable distribution if you're over 70 and a half years of age.
QCD.
QCD is an acronym we use in those things. And they can be extremely valuable, especially for people who like to make charitable gifts and their income tend to be in that $0 to $100,000 range.
Sure.
You know, they can be incredibly invaluable.
Most people.
Well, no, you know, there's a lot of people who make more than that.
Of course, but I'm saying most people
and
still.
And it's not going to work for everyone from a tax. But I saw a client recently where he was charitably minded. He did a QCD of $5,000, and it saved him like $2,500 in taxes. And you say, how could it possibly save somebody almost 50%?
Yeah.
Well, if you understand how Social Security and some of those other things operate on a tax return, I mean, it just brought an incredible amount of tax saving for a person that was only making like $50,000 a year of income. And so, anyway, that's just one of many really cool techniques that you can use if you're charitably minded. So why don't you tell us who's here tonight, why we're talking about charities?
I'd love to, Drew. Rebecca Rothy has more than a decade of experience in planned giving. Most recently, she served for 8 years at Catholic Charities as Director of Planned Giving and Principal Gifts, and earlier as Director of Gift Planning. Before joining Catholic Charities, Rothy served as Manager of Major and Planned Gifts and Major Gifts at the American Red Cross of Central Maryland. She holds an undergraduate degree in philosophy from the College of Notre Dame of Maryland, Notre Dame, and certification as fundraising specialist from Goucher College. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us, but not on behalf of Catholic Charities this evening, but the Baltimore Community Foundation.
That's correct. I've been at the Baltimore Community Foundation for a year and a quarter since last August, 2012.
And talk to us just a little bit about what the Baltimore Community Foundation does, what it represents for those who may not be familiar.
The Baltimore Community Foundation is a charitable foundation, and we're working to build a permanent resource for Baltimore, an endowment, to use to address the most urgent needs facing our community. Right now, we're investing in education and neighborhoods to help improve the city. And then we also work with people who have charitable interests, like you were just talking about, Drew, with the IRA rollover opportunity. So we help them create their own charitable funds and to plan their giving.
So explain a little of that more. You say their own charitable funds. What are you referring to in that regard?
I'm referring to primarily donor-advised funds.
Right. I know what it is, but they probably don't.
Okay. Well, I'd be happy to explain it. Thank you for the opportunity. So donor-advised funds are a really wonderful way to organize and intentionalize your philanthropy. They are very simple. So you make a charitable gift the way you would to any charity, and you get a tax deduction comparable to what you would with any charity. But the difference is that gift then goes into a fund. fund, which is held by an institution, in our case by the Baltimore Community Foundation. And
sure.
you can give your fund a name, so you can call it after your family, or, you know, if you love puppies, you can name it for puppies, whatever you really care about.
Drew, that's what you would do. Name it for puppies.
My favorite breed of dog is someone else's.
I know.
But go ahead.
So, and then you can make gifts from your fund to the charities that you're passionate about, and you can make those gifts at any time. So you can do it in the year that you set it up, or if you want to have a fund, you know, over time, or you want to use it to involve your family. A lot of people set them up as a way of getting their family involved in charitable giving.
But this donor advice fund, though, Rebecca, it, once it's set up, and let's say my family put in $20,000, we get a $20,000 deduction right up front.
Mm-hmm.
But now we have this $20,000 hunk of money, and it might be making, let's say it makes $1,000 the first year. And
mm-hmm.
I could take either some of the principal or just all the income and growth and give it out to charity, right?
Either way. So you can set it up so you can give it all out to charity. Or if you want it to be a permanent fund, you can endow that fund, and then you would only give away what it earns annually.
But now, can I give that money to any charity I want to, or just charities that are within the Baltimore Community Foundation?
You can, with the Baltimore Community Foundation, you can give anywhere in the country, as long as it's a qualified 501c3 that meets the IRS standards.
Sure.
Or any church that's considered
church,
a tax-exempt entity.
School.
Because there are a lot of churches that aren't 501c3s, but they fall under the legal requirements of 501c3.
Correct, and they fall under the IRS requirements for donor advised fund distributions.
So they can use it to do anything they want with it.
Philanthropically, yes.
Wow,
that's fascinating. So why would you have opened it up to that as opposed to just your own projects that you're working on?
Well, there are a lot of different reasons why people do this. If people make a lot of gifts, I've mm-hmm. met with people through my career that make 30, 40 charitable donations a year. That's a lot of checks. That's a lot
sure.
of receipts. The IRS requires you to have a receipt for your gifts for income tax purposes. You can write one check, and then you can make gifts from that fund at any time. You can do it online. You can send an email. You can send a grant recommendation form. So it's very easy. It simplifies mm-hmm. your giving. So that would be one reason. But I think I might, if it's okay with you, I'd love to share a couple stories that
well,
I think
we're going to do that. And okay. we got right now, we're close to this 6:15 time.
Okay.
And if we talk during 6:15, then Terry doesn't get to tell everybody about the traffic jams out there
which
on the Beltway.
Which is a big issue tonight.
Which is a big issue. Go ahead, Terry. Take it away. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What do you think, Drew?
I think it's...
You're normally so quick to give us your opinion.
It's good music.
I'm trying to remember the name of this band, and I can't. Yep, Noah, he did not come up with anything charitably inclined.
Yeah.
Oh, he corrects
All right.
me.
Yeah, he's got stuff in his head there, too.
Plenty. Plenty of stuff in
We're
his head.
We're with Rebecca Rothy, and she... What is your title at the Baltimore Community Foundation?
Director of Major and Planned Giving.
All right, that sounds like a good title. So you want to tell us a story or two about what's going on with the Baltimore Community Foundation. So let's hear one good story start off.
Okay. We were talking about donor-advised funds.
Okay.
And I thought it might be helpful for your listeners to hear an example or two of people who've created donor-advised funds. And
Great.
One fellow you most listeners would have heard of, and that is Governor William Donald Schaefer.
Okay.
A passionate Baltimorean.
Yes.
Loved his community.
He did.
Learned about the Baltimore Community Foundation's work in neighborhoods. We've been making grants, investing in Baltimore neighborhoods for 20 years,
wow.
helping projects. And he saw what we were doing, loved that idea, and created the William Donald Schaefer Civic Fund for Baltimore. Made gifts to it while he was alive, including when he moved from his townhome to Charlestown. He actually mm-hmm. gifted his townhome to his fund.
Can you imagine being in Charlestown with William Donald Schaefer?
That would be a riot.
It would be a riot.
I'd want to live close by.
I'm sorry.
And his cat.
Yeah,
he had
and
a cat.
His cat. Okay.
And so he has created a fund both while he was alive and then through his estate that's almost $2 million. That's making $80,000 in grants to Baltimore neighborhoods. So he's getting it done now and next year and forever.
Now, does your foundation manage that money and takes the distributions, or is there somebody else that he has advising where it's going to go and so forth?
Our foundation manages that.
Okay.
And we have a team, a community investment team, so we have a team of folks whose job it is to know the needs of our community, and so they're the ones who actually recommend where those gifts go. All kinds of projects. Art.
Isn't that cool? So here's a guy that was so passionate about Baltimore. Mm. He's passed away, and he's still got, you know, all this money coming back into the community, and it'll go on probably indefinitely, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Isn't
it'll go on
amazing?
Forever.
Yeah.
Doing it now.
He was
forever.
An amazing guy. You got to give him a lot of credit. I don't normally vote for Democrats, but I don't think I ever voted
for
Democrats.
Thank you for reminding us, Pete. But there were an awful lot of folks on the other side of the aisle who did vote for Schaefer.
Yeah, well, I think he's the only Democrat I might have voted for because, you know, why not? You know, the guy was a good guy, you know?
He truly was.
Yeah, he was.
Great things for the city of Baltimore.
So isn't that cool? That's a great story, you know? Mm-hmm. But anybody can do that. My family does that with Towson University. So they have a little donor advised fund, mm-hmm. and they give a scholarship out to, you know, I don't know what exactly.
One of my brothers.
Sure, yeah, it's a student, but my brother determines how he gives it out and so forth. So, you know, but.
Saw your record at Towson University and decided not to have
to
you
use
involved.
Me. Yes.
Well, that's actually a great segue into another quick story.
Perfect.
Which is that we had a fellow who most people haven't heard of. His name is Tom Gildee. He grew up in Baltimore in a pretty rough neighborhood. Parents died when he was young, lived with his grandmother, and she got scholarships for him to go to Catholic school. He ended up founding a software company that was highly successful.
Wow.
And when he sold it, he wanted to give back and he wanted to help education, public and private. And he started by trying to create his own foundation and was literally going through the phone book under Saint and calling schools and saying, I want to help your kids go to school. Can I give you some money? And the schools thought it was prank calls and were hanging up the phone. He likes to joke about it because he's friends with them now.
Amazing.
And he pretty quickly realized that he needed guidance in how to give money away. It's actually harder to give money away intentionally than many people realize.
Sure.
So he created a fund at the Community Foundation and has helped hundreds of school children go to private school. He's also working intensely on the Art City schools and very passionate about education. And, you know, those scholarships are going to change lives in incredible
ways. So
how does
the Baltimore Community Foundation find the children that they're going to give these gifts to?
Well, in his case, what he'll do is he'll work with us to find schools. And so in that case,
So he gets to be that involved. So that's cool.
Hands-on.
So he gets to help, you know, and locate and determine and so forth.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, the average person giving a bunch of money to some charity and then that's it. You're out. You know, you have nothing to say, nothing to do. You're just hoping that this good group. In your situation, you're actually still hands-on.
Exactly. And a lot of people do that. It doesn't have to be huge amounts of money, but if you want to figure out, I want to help workforce development, you know, I want early childhood education, I want health, you know, improve health.
I want to help start little gardens in Baltimore City. I'll bet you there's one for that.
We actually, the Community Foundation itself invests in that. Whitelock Gardens in Reservoir Hill is funded by the Baltimore Community Foundation. It's reclaimed.
What is it?
It's a community garden. It actually has a garden that's run by residents of Reservoir Hill. They produce produce.
Where's Reservoir Hill?
Reservoir Hill's right outside Druid Hill.
You're
Park.
Shaking your head like, yeah, I know where it is.
I do.
I know where it is. You have no idea where it is.
I know exactly where it is.
Go ahead, Rebecca. Tell him where it is since he doesn't know.
I'm glad you're not giving me quizzes like that.
Uh-huh. just wait.
So it's in the city. It's right outside of Druid Hill Park, on the southern end of Druid Hill Park, and it's one of the great classic neighborhoods of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. As they raise food, do they take it to, like, Whole Foods and sell
they
it?
They actually sell it in the community.
Okay.
So they bring community members together to work in the garden It's taken vacant lots and turned them into green spaces, and then they sell it in the neighborhood so that people have fresh local produce. I mean, literally as local as you can get.
And this is very, this is becoming very common in a lot of big cities, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And BCF has been a leader in that. Cheryl Kashani, who's a Baltimore Community Foundation staff person, is actually the head of the mayor's office of sustainability. And so she's led the efforts to make investments in these kinds of greening efforts in the city.
You know, and this is becoming a big trend in charities, isn't it? And it's what I call micro-giving. In other words, you have an idea, you want to give the money, but you want more hands-on to help it see what it's doing, your gift. Is that true?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of, you know, we were talking about the mechanics of donor-advised funds. You know, you set up, you make a gift, you get a deduction, you set up a fund. But we have events throughout the year for people who have funds with us so that they can learn from each other. You know, so you get an idea like a community garden, but you've never done it. How do I do that? Well, you can come to an event and learn from your peers and learn from our staff about how to be most effective in your philanthropy.
Collaboration, Drew.
There you go, Tim.
Rebecca, the last 5 years have been a rough time for a lot of charitable organizations. I'm curious, has the Baltimore Community Foundation suffered in that time?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by suffered. I mean, our investments certainly face challenges the way all charities did.
But in terms of additional giving, was giving down by a substantial amount over the last 5 years?
Not in the same way it was directly to nonprofits, because we've been talking about donor-advised funds, and people still give. We're a generous community, and people continued to give even during the worst of the recession.
Sure.
And so people who knew the needs would continue to create funds with us in order to then be able to make gifts.
To combat maybe some of the losses that nonprofits were suffering from.
Exactly.
That's great.
So what's another story of something that you've experienced? Or, well, let me ask this question, because I had this on my mind, and now that I'm thinking about it again.
And it's back.
What's the...
Thank goodness.
What's the smallest donor advised contribution somebody can make?
$10,000.
$10,000. Wow. So that's a lot of money, but it's not a lot of money for a lot of people. It could be easy to do something like that. But there's plenty of opportunity to contribute $50, $100, and whatever, just to help the Baltimore Community Foundation. And I guess people can get involved too, can't they?
Absolutely. You know, the kinds of projects that I was talking about in neighborhoods and education. Those are our two primary focus areas, so we use volunteers in those efforts, so there are lots of ways for people to be involved. There's also ways for companies to be involved. Rosenberg Martin Greenberg is a law firm in Baltimore, and it was celebrating last year its 25th anniversary, and they didn't want to just have a party. And they decided instead to create a permanent fund, you know, an endowed fund at the Community Foundation, and they're giving $25,000 a year to education.
Great.
So they ask us to kind of figure out places, ask for, you know, proposals for how to do that, and then we kind of go to them and say, here are five great projects that we think that would help young people in the city. And each year, again, forever, they're going to be giving $25,000.
Wow, that's fantastic, you know, and now this is for K through 12?
Yes.
Or is this college?
K through 12.
K through 12, and so it's going into, like, private schools in K through 12?
They actually
or just to help public schools, or what?
Well, and they gave, this year, one of their grants was to young audiences. So it's an opportunity for low-income kids who might not have a chance to go to the symphony or to concerts to experience music.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, what is she talking about, young audiences? What is young audiences?
Actually, you're going to catch me on that one. It's a program for, my understanding, and it's very minimal,
okay.
Is a program for city kids to get money for buses and tickets to go to concerts that they otherwise might not be able to afford
to go.
To
theater
go.
And concerts
exactly.
And things. And to
Drew, it's about young people becoming audiences.
There
young
you
audiences
go.
Movement.
Yeah, but I thought that's what she was going to tell me it was about.
Yeah.
But that's a really cool project, you know?
Cool.
Because you
I think you should get involved with that particular project, considering your love of music.
Music. There you go. Tim, with that, I think I'll take a break so I can scream at you off air instead of on air.
Just don't scream at me.
No, you're doing fantastic, Rebecca. So hold on with us. We're going to go to Terry Trey and Travis Goon. Be right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
My own two hands make a better place with my own two hands.
Now you see that?
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that.
You give him some time, he starts finding music that's charitably inclined.
It's going to make this place a better place, right, Noah? And who is that?
He has no idea.
He found it on the internet.
We can certify they were inspired by Bob Marley, though, because it's reggae.
Right. You know, one day Noah's going to pull up one of those internet, he doesn't know who it is, and he's going to start playing
and it's going to break some rules of radio.
Break some rules, yep. And we're all going to be running for the drop button.
Well, we'll just blame Noah, Drew.
Anyway, we're here with Rebecca Rothy, and she's with the Baltimore Community Foundation. And there's a lot of really cool ways people can get involved with your community foundation. One we were talking about at the break after I finished talking to Timothy. I don't forget.
Is that a talk?
No, yeah. Was the registry fund. Mm-hmm. So if you have somebody's passed away and you want gifts in lieu of flowers, or if somebody's getting married and they don't need a bunch of gifts, it's maybe like Tim said, it's like a second marriage, mm-hmm. and they're older and they don't necessarily, they just want you to come and celebrate this marriage, but they don't want you to necessarily, they could come to you guys and say, if you're going to give a gift, I would like you to give it to the Baltimore Community Foundation. It's a registry, it's a fund that you're receiving these gifts for somebody who's passed away, maybe for a marriage or something of that sort. Tell us a little more about that.
It's a great description. The one other thing I would add is that increasingly people are moving away from the materialism of the holidays,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and people are looking to make charitable gifts instead of exchanging physical gifts. And
yeah.
So another way a registry fund could be used is a family could create one and all make donations to that fund and then come
wow.
together as a family to figure out where they want to make a donation. So
a great idea.
Very simple to set up, and again, a wonderful way to honor or remember. Often if it's a memorial fund, they'll create it in memory, in the name of the person. But we had one created actually through a woman named a fund in her will. She had been a piano teacher, and she left a small fund that finances piano lessons.
Wow.
And it helps kids get piano lessons. I mean, the creativity that goes into how people use these is really inspiring.
That's great. Now, what if, Rebecca, someone has charitable intent, but they feel a little bit hesitant about parting with a huge amount of money? What options may they have?
There are a lot of both simple and then a little more complicated mm-hmm. opportunities, and that's a pretty common situation for folks, particularly as they age. It's a pretty valid worry. You know, many seniors are concerned about
outlive their money.
You got it.
Sure.
And I share that concern. you can either, the simplest way is to name a charity in your will.
Sure.
Or if you don't want to write a will, if you have a little savings account or IRA, any of those accounts, you can name a charitable beneficiary
okay.
instead of an individual. The other thing is that there are arrangements, they're called life income gifts,
mm-hmm.
and essentially you make a donation, so you're giving away money. It's
okay.
not an investment, and
okay.
that's very important to understand
to
that,
clarify.
But you can make a donation, and you can get an income in return for that donation. You can either, there are two ways to set it up, either as an annuity or as a trust. And what will happen is that usually if it's for yourself, it's based on your age. You'll get a payment for as long as you live. But you can also name children.
Mm-hmm.
And you can name other beneficiaries. And then when you pass away, whatever's left over goes to the charity that you name as the beneficiary of that arrangement. And they're attractive because in the case of the gift annuities, which is a simple contract
mm-hmm.
between you and a charity like the Community Foundation,
sure.
The payments are based on your age and go up to as high as 9% if you're in your late 80s.
Wow.
So they're attractive, and they're tax favored, so a portion of that is actually tax free. And then you're also getting an income tax deduction when you set it up. So they're win-win-win if they're right. You know, I've created many, many of these through my career and have worked with rich people, affluent people, low-income folks. They're attractive. It's kind of across the spectrum. If you want to give a charity money. If you don't, it's not an investment. Well, and I always emphasize
that's
that.
That's a really important point with all of this discussion that I tell folks. I think there are so many benefits to charitable giving, but you should understand that charitable intent is the precursor to this entire discussion.
Exactly. You know, you don't, tax deductions are great,
right,
but you're still giving away money.
You're right.
You just get a tax benefit for giving it away, and you're rewarded by our system for being generous.
Sure.
But it does start with philanthropic intent. But that said, it's if you are, if you care about your school, your church, mm-hmm. your hospital, people not going hungry, the homeless being sheltered, you can make a gift. You'll get income. Mm-hmm. You'll get a tax deduction. And when you pass away, you'll help a lot of people. And that is really win-win-win.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a win for you. It's a win for the charities, mm-hmm. and it's a win for the community.
The Baltimore Community Foundation, does that have a geographic location that they operate in?
Yeah, we're one of 720 community foundations across the country. We're 41 years old, and we our geographic footprint is Baltimore City, Baltimore County.
Mm-hmm.
And all that means is that's where we're focusing our investment. You know, at the beginning I said that we're building a permanent fund
mm-hmm.
For the community that our board is using to help and make a difference. And so
sure.
we do that in the city and county.
How would they like to build a duck pond on my property?
That's a great idea.
I think that's a really cool one.
If you offer to host a fundraising event there for the community foundation.
Yeah, right. You're going to have to turn this into some sort of charitable initiative.
You got
Ducks Unlimited.
I get it.
Habitat for ducks.
Okay. Oh, for the ducks themselves.
Yeah, so that they can get shot when they're coming down.
I'm suffering to see the charitable intent here.
So you want to make yourself a sitting duck for charities.
There you go. Nicely turned.
Anyway, you got to hold on with us, Rebecca, because I don't know. Do you have anything we need to know?
True, I always have something.
I should have never asked.
No.
Yeah, Timothy, tell us what we need to know. We'll come back to Rebecca after this.
Gladly, Drew. You need to know that there is a cure to affluenza. The term affluenza was coined in a 1997 PBS documentary defined as, quote, the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses, unquote. You know the feeling I'm talking about, right? How ironic, then, that the cure to affluenza might just be to give more. Here are three reasons why. One, personally, you'll feel good. Apparently, we are wired to receive a physiological benefit from giving. That same sense of satisfaction you get from a compliment from your friend or a raise from your boss comes from an endorphin rush sent through your body. In addition to these individual senses of satisfaction, you will gradually feel a greater sense of control over your own financial situation when you give to others. This positive response is especially heightened when you are able to connect yourself physically, not just fiscally, in the act of giving. Second, mysteriously, you'll actually have more money. Once in a pattern of giving, you have a heightened sense of the needs of others and the excess in your own budget. The net effect is that you may find yourself choosing to purchase one or two fewer $5 lattes per week, staying in occasionally instead of going out, and more money in your bank account. Three, practically, you'll save money on your taxes. When you give to a qualified charitable organization, you will generally receive an income tax deduction. Talk to your CPA to see how this will affect you personally. As the old saying goes, if I give water to others, I will never be thirsty. The benefits of charitable giving for everyone, not just the wealthy, may just be as meaningful to the giver as they are to the givee. The greatest benefits from those suggestions will not come from a couple of gifts each year when someone tugs on your heartstrings, but through a sustained effort throughout the year. And that is something you need to know.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I guess he's going to listen to music all night.
It's possible, Drew.
That is a good song.
I thought that was you playing the keyboard there
now,
at the beginning.
Who is that? Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, you go. God rest her soul.
Right. All right. There's a good song. All right. We're back with Rebecca Rothy with the Baltimore. Well, that's what he says, you know, so I'm going to believe him. He's the producer. Can I go on now? What am I going to do with
the musical debate over?
Yeah, really. Rebecca's with the Baltimore Community Foundation, so we only have about 10 minutes left. So first thing I want to talk about is appreciated stock, appreciated assets. Probably the most powerful gift you can make in all of tax planning and charitable planning is appreciated property. And so, do you want to explain why, or do you want me to explain why?
I'm happy for you to. I mean, I agree. I had like my top, you know, I have a checklist on charitable giving, and on the top is appreciated assets. And it surprises me how many people don't realize, including very seasoned, experienced people financially, that it makes far more sense if you have a stock that's gone up and you've owned it for more than a year. Gift the stock. You get the full fair market value for the gift on the day that you transferred.
Right.
So
yeah, if you buy a stock at 10 that you've owned for 30 years and it's now at 100, which is quite common. A lot of people around town own McCormick & Company, which has done phenomenally well over the last 30, 40 years. And so you gift that stock away. And you get a full tax deduction, don't have to report any of the appreciation on your tax return. It's a double whammy. If you're going to do charitable giving, that's the way you always want to do it.
Absolutely.
If you've got appreciated stock or appreciated real estate and you intending to be charitable, it's incredible.
Absolutely. You betcha. And I would say, too, some people don't realize that if you really want to keep that stock, you can always rebuy it, and that way you've gotten the step up in cost basis.
Yeah.
Right.
And you get the charitable gift, you get the stock, you keep the stock. And so there's a lot of cool things you can do. And you can do appreciated stocks and mix it with that charitable annuity you were talking about, where you give it and you say, okay, here's $100,000. I would like to get $6,000 for the rest of my life. And you can do that.
I had a woman do that with us this year, and she had Heinz stock, which is being bought out.
Sure.
So she was being forced to sell and would have been forced to realize that gain. And so instead, she gifted it for a gift annuity. She's getting 6.7% for as long as she lives, part of which is tax-free, part of which is capital gain income over her lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then what's left goes to the community. Win-win-win.
It is an amazing thing. So it's great work that you're doing. So let's say somebody wants to give money to the Baltimore Community Foundation, or they want to get in touch with it, they want to participate, they want to do a donor advice fund, a registry fund, any of that cool stuff. How do they get in touch with Rebecca and BCF?
Okay, you can call us. Our phone number is 410-332-4171. Again, 410-332-4171. We have a website, of course, which is www.bcf.org, so BaltimoreCommunityFoundation.org. And you can explore all these opportunities on our website.
BCF.org. So that's a real easy way to get in touch with you. Do you have another cool story? You know, like a bedtime story? You know, I'm going home to go to bed.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Eight thirty,
I'll be
asleep. You have to when you get up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, we have a woman who created a fund for early childhood literacy. You know, she was an editor, and she wanted to make certain that everyone could read. And she created a fund that at a private school that helps a literacy specialist, a tutor, you know, make certain that all the kids at that school can read.
Wow.
So everybody that wants a tutor can have one pretty much at no cost.
Correct.
And then her donor advised fund pays that tutor for the work they're doing.
It actually pays the school where that tutor works, because the school's the charity that receives her donation.
Okay, so that makes perfect sense. Did you want to ask a question, Timothy?
Well, I was curious, Rebecca, especially with year end coming. Mm-hmm. Are there any events that you guys are having that help maybe educate folks on some of these things? Anything like that going on?
We have an introductory breakfast to the Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. So again, if you want to give us a call, 410-332-4171, we'd be happy to send you an invitation to
but
that.
But you can probably pick that up on the web too.
Mm-hmm.
BCF.org.
Yeah. You got it.
And it's a breakfast?
It's a breakfast. Yeah, we do it as breakfast so people can get to work by 9 o'clock.
Oh, where do you do it?
Radisson at Cross Keys.
Radisson at Cross. Oh, that's a nice place. Yeah. Man, if I'm hungry that morning. Yeah.
We also will have, and this will also be on our website, we do advocacy work. It's part of the agenda. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be doing a call-in on December 4th. So, again, that'll be on our website. So you can actually, if you can't make it to a physical event, you can learn about that aspect of our work through a call-in.
So you're enjoying being with BCF. You said it was only, about a year and a half that you've been with them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were with Red Cross before?
I was at Red Cross, and then for 4 years, Catholic Charities for 8 years, mm-hmm. and Community Foundation for about a year and a half.
And you've always been charitable fundraising. That's been your background.
Yeah, and, you know, I love what Tim read because, you know, it's called fundraising, but I've always considered it facilitating because I'm not trying to talk people into doing something they don't want to do.
Absolutely.
I'm helping them figure out what they want to do, and then I'm matching it with places that need it. And it makes the places that need it happy when they get the support, and it makes the people who make those gifts happy. So I get to facilitate happiness.
Oh, yeah, so, nice. I mean, and in your position, the Baltimore Community Foundation is really cool because you're not a charity saying, hey, send us money, send us money, send us money. You're there saying, if you're charitably inclined, we can accommodate whatever vision you have. We'll help you do it.
Exactly. And we help people figure that out. And that evolves over time. So we help people. We'll have conversations about what are your values. We have funds, another bedtime story. We have one of our trustees has been very involved with us. He created a fund for his grandchildren. Hmm. And every year his grandchildren come in the summertime and they learn about charities and they go out and spend 2 days volunteering at those charities.
Perfect.
And then they decide where the gifts from that fund go. So it's 11 to 18 years old. And so they're figuring out what do they care about. And we guide them through that process. But they're the ones saying, okay, I want to feed the homeless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to help homeless women. I want no child to not have clothes. You know, and so they're making the decisions, but it's after going through a process. So we do that everywhere from 5-year-olds to 500-year-olds.
Wow.
Because gifts will last forever when people set up a permanent fund.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. You know, our company does a lot of gifts, and we've got children in our, you know, amongst our employees, myself.
Yeah.
I've got grandchildren. You got children.
Mm-hmm.
We can make a gift, a registry gift, and then we could call the kids in to come make a decision and so forth. That would be really cool.
Love that idea.
Yeah. So there you go. That's a great idea. And tell them again, because we've only got about 30 seconds left. You know, you got to let them know really how they get in touch with you because I don't want anybody to miss this.
410-332-4171 or www.bcf.org.
Now, Dr. Carson is on your board of directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you help him to establish his foundation, the one that gives trophies out to kids for their scholastic aptitude?
No, we didn't help him with that.
That's a really cool foundation, too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, somebody who had an idea like that could do that through you guys.
Absolutely.
They don't have to be Dr. Carson. They could come to you and say, help me do this.
You bet. Our board, he's one of many board members from all walks of life in Baltimore.
Mm. Fantastic. Well,
thank
we
you so
really
much,
appreciate
Rebecca.
You being with us, Rebecca. And it's a valuable work that you guys are doing.
Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Anyway, this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Drew Tignanelli here saying God bless.
680.